Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
Music news happens all around us every week. We do a music roundup on Friday mornings with our music expert, Gary Graff. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
All right. How are you?
We're good. We're lovely.
Good.
Ready to get your brains beat in the playoffs?
Pretty much. Well, let's just say, you know, the people who are buying tickets are focusing on games 3 and 4.
Yeah, if it even gets that far, because the NBA may call it off, because there's no chance the Pistons even show a glimmer of hope in this series.
I wish I could talk more smack about this in good conscience, but, you know,
we're just
kind of happy to be there.
Yeah, boy.
It's been a while for the Pistons, so I think, you know, it's just getting there is the first step. But yeah, there's not a lot of expectations. Let's put it that way. And interestingly, if it does get to a game 5, there's a Pink concert at the arena that night.
What happens then?
I don't know. And what's interesting, what makes it more interesting, is that's a show that had been rescheduled from a previous date.
What's more likely to be moved, the game or the concert?
I think the concert.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't the Pistons have a backup arena?
Well, game 5 is here.
I don't know what it would take to reopen the Palace, you know, where they played before. You know, or if they would consider, like, playing at Ford Field at the football stadium, set up a court in the middle.
Oh, that'd man, be, the logistics of that have to be enormous, don't
that would,
they?
That would be, yeah, the whole thing would be pretty awful. So, I don't know. We'll wait and see. I
mean, oh, then your luck will just polish you off in 4 games.
That's predicated on there being a game 6.
Well, you guys had a good run in the playoffs. When were the Bad Boys around? 80?
The Bad Boys were, you know, 80, roughly 88 to 92.
Okay. So could Thon Maker?
A long time ago.
Could Thon Maker possibly be the next Bill Laimbeer?
Doubtful.
You know, just a cheap shot, crybaby, nobody likes him sort of player.
You know, but only one guy could do that the way Laimbeer did. You know, we will not see anything like him again.
You know, they've done 30 for 30s on who is it? Kristen Laettner is you know, I hate Kristen Laettner was the 30 for 30. Why not one on Bill Laimbeer?
They did one on
the Bad Boys,
right?
On the Bad Boys, and that dealt with it pretty well. It's funny, I saw him a couple weeks ago. They made a documentary about Bill Davidson, the former Pistons owner, and they timed the premiere for the same weekend that the Bad Boys were in town for the 30th anniversary of their first championship. And you know, went to talk to some of the players afterwards just to get comments, and I'm walking towards him with my notebook, and just the look Laimbeer shot me. It was like, you know, don't even come close unless you want to see what I used to do to Kevin McHale.
Who slugged him, and was the foul wasn't even called on him? Was it Robert Parrish who just flat out leveled him?
Parrish or McHale.
Yeah. And the refs just went, well, he probably deserved it. No foul, nobody was ejected, no nothing.
Hardwood justice.
Right.
Definitely one of a kind.
The Stones have decided maybe they need to put off their tour until next year.
Possibly.
Yeah.
It's an interesting situation. So obviously they were going to be out this spring, even as we speak. They were going to be playing, and then Mick Jagger had to have heart surgery, which, by the way, was very successful, and he's been out walking and everything and seen in public. And they said, well, we'll reschedule the shows in short order and do them for the summer. Well, what people didn't anticipate is 12 of these dates are at NFL stadiums, and they're not sure if they're going to be available, you know, whether it'll conflict with the exhibition game schedule. And, you know, several of the stadiums are natural grass stadiums, and they won't host a concert, you know, or anything to interfere with the turf, you know, as they get into the season. Even if it's just the exhibition season, they're not going to do that. So there's a lot of scuttlebutt now that this whole tour may not be able to happen until about the same time frame that was originally planned in 2020. So we'll probably know more about that in the coming week.
Well, Ozzy canceled, his entire tour, a week or so ago?
Yeah, he had to cancel his entire tour. And, you know, Sharon went on the Talk that she's on. So she actually detailed it a little more. She basically said, well, while he's been sick, and he's been sick most of the year with what apparently went from a flu to bronchitis to pneumonia, and apparently when he had the flu and had come back home from the hospital, he fell in the middle of the night and re-injured some of the injuries he suffered back in 2003 when he crashed his ATV in England. If you remember that, he was in a coma, and he broke his collarbone, several fluids and neck vertebrae, and he basically knocked himself out of whack in this fall at home. So it's going to take, sounds like, more surgery and then an extended period of recuperation before he goes back on the road in 2020.
And right on the heels of that information, the Stones and Ozzy canceling their tours or potentially canceling their tours, ZZ Top says it's time for a 50th anniversary tour for us.
Yep, those beards, they're 50 years old. And so, yeah, ZZ Top's hitting the road for, you know, to celebrate 50. They were first album. They were formed in 69. And they're going to be playing at the BMO Harris Pavilion on September 4th. So, you know, it's a late summer and fall tour. They're doing some dates with Bad Company, some dates with Cheap Trick, the local dates with ZZ Top only. But, you know, chance to see them. They're not talking about retiring or anything, by the way.
Yeah.
You know. But
hey, Dusty Hill lived through being shot, so why retire?
He was a lot younger, though, when he was shot. That was 30-some years ago.
Right, yeah. No, you may as well, you know, keep going. and the other big tour news of the week was Fleetwood Mac had to postpone the remainder of its spring dates. Stevie Nicks apparently has the flu. I guess she partied a little too hard at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction. The funny thing about this is Fleetwood Mac replaced the Rolling Stones at the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival, and now they have to cancel. So the folks down in the Crescent City are getting widespread panic, which will work for a certain part of the populace, but they're not the Stones or Fleetwood Mac. And I guess there was one other good one this week, too. The Black Keys, you know, were one of the big hooks for the Woodstock 50 Festival, and now they're bailing out due to the quote-unquote scheduling conflict, which I think is a euphemism for money. You know, they're probably not getting either what they were promised or what they wanted, so they're going to bail out. They're still going to release a new album later this year, and they're also going to do a tour of their own in the fall, but they won't be playing at Woodstock 50.
Well, the Jackson family's not going to take this HBO documentary lightly, Leaving Neverland.
They've
thrown their own documentary together to refute it.
You know, they put out this thing called Neverland Firsthand, which is, How long was Leaving Neverland? That was like 4 hours, right?
Yeah, it's two parts, two hours long each. Yeah,
this documentary is 30 minutes long. And it's got one of Michael Jackson's nephews and one of his nieces, as well as a guy, Brad Sundberg, who was his technical director and apparently, quote-unquote, regularly stayed out at Neverland. And basically it's a half hour of them refuting everything that's in Leaving Neverland, and just saying they were full of it and wrong and so on and so forth. So,
well, HBO's not airing that, though, right? Do I have to go find this on YouTube or something?
Yeah, I think so. It's definitely on YouTube. I haven't heard of a broadcast, you know, yet, but you know, that may well happen. But yeah, go out and look for it. It's not, I don't know. It's not particularly credible. It doesn't leave you convinced that leaving Neverland was completely wrong.
How many whiskeys are there in the world? How many different, you know, choices do I have right now?
How many?
Thousands? Many. Would you say thousands?
I don't know about thousands. Certainly hundreds.
Hundreds. All
and,
right.
You know, and then certainly it seems like scores when it comes to musician whiskey.
Right.
Yeah.
So Bob Dylan has drank whiskey, I'm sure, plenty of whiskey in his time. And now he's decided, I can make a better whiskey than these guys.
Yep, he set up a new company, a distillery in Nashville, that starting next year will be bringing out Heaven's Door. That'll be the name of the whiskey, as in knocking on. And he's basically turned an old church in Nashville into what's going to be called the Heaven's Door Distillery and Center for the Arts. And, you know, so it'll have a concert, it'll have a small 360-seat live performance venue. He'll display his paintings and some of his metal sculptures there. So it's kind of going to be a little center of Bob Dylan right there in the middle of Nashville. This year is the 50th anniversary of his Nashville Skyline album. So
if you're opening anything in Nashville, you better make sure it has a stage.
Oh yeah, no, you got to have music's got to be part of it. So So you'll be able to sit, sip and strum, you know, sit there and listen with your favorite libation. It'll be a nice time, and you can do any, you know, we can start counting now how many bad Bob Dylan impersonations are going to be uttered in those seats.
But you,
well, I mean, why go otherwise?
Right. You can't just wake up one day and go, I'm going to open a distillery.
This has been in the planning for a while. But.
Right. Just wonder how long ago he decided, yeah, I'll get in the whiskey business. Why not?
Yeah, you wonder.
He knows what he likes.
It's not like he talks a lot, so we probably won't be asking him about it. Although, you know, you get into a commercial business and suddenly these people want to talk.
Yeah, well, you know, they're going to promote their thing, right?
Oh, exactly.
He will. He has... It's not like he completely lacks commercial sense.
Oh, no,
he knows
he sells things
based on popularity.
Yeah, no, he has a good team around him. You know, this will likely be a successful, you know, whiskey brand.
And this is a little bit of a head scratcher. You know, when I'm wondering what life choice I should make, I think, well, you know, there's always been newspaper articles. You know, you had your Dear Abby, your Ann Landers, your Miss Manners, all that. And now David Crosby is going to write an advice column?
Yes, he is.
For whom?
You know, I would remind you Ozzy Osbourne did this, too. David Crosby has a new advice column called Ask Cros that's in Rolling Stone magazine. And it'll premiere in the June issue. And, you know, apparently he'll talk about everything from personal relationships and your love life to substance abuses and things like that to how to make it in the music industry. Surely this raises some eyebrows. And like you said, they leaves your head scratching. Go figure, but it's going to be entertaining to see what he has to say. You can send your photos to Ask Croz, that's Croz, at rollingstone.com, or you could tweet it to the hashtag Ask Croz, again, Croz. Throw your problems at the feet of David Crosby and see what he has to say about it.
He's horrible at relationships.
He's got, you know, the whole book of what not to do all, you know, cataloged, categorized.
That's a definite possibility.
That would be the hook, is this guy has done so many things wrong that he can at least tell you what not to do or advise you on what not to do.
Even, you know, or what happens if you do something he did, you know.
Even Graham Nash has had it up to here with him, right? I mean, they're on the outs right now, and Graham Nash is just, he's a... one of the nicest guys out there.
Yeah, no, the whole Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young thing is completely on ice there. You know, they are at odds with Crosby, basically. And
really?
Apparently are everything, you know, from what Nash told me, he and Stills are tired. Apparently Crosby's really hard to work with. There's a news flash. But he so everybody's kind of doing their own thing. Neil Young, interestingly, is recording the first Crazy Horse album since 2012. He just put this out on social media this week.
What makes it a Crazy Horse album?
Well, the guys who are playing with him. You know,
okay, he's got the band back together.
He's got the band back together with the exception of Frank Sampedro is no longer playing guitar due to health reasons, but Nils Lofgren is back in the band. So that's exciting. You know, won't quite have the same, might not have the same wild abandon that more recent, that the Crazy Horse of the last three decades did, just because Nils is a little more precise player than Neil Young has put in the band before, but it'll definitely rock.
All right.
I'm not sure. They're going to make this a historical landmark or designated in the UK. Beatles, Apple's record headquarters.
The Apple Corps building.
Right. Now, when I picture the Beatles recording, it's always pictures of Abbey Road. That's not their headquarters.
No, although they did have a recording studio in the Apple headquarters. This is at 3 Savile Row in London. And this is where they had Apple Records. This is where they did their business. This is the building that has the rooftop that they played their final live performance at on Let It Be. And the what they call the blue plaque designation in England, which is for a historical landmark, marks that the Beatles played their last live performance on the roof of this building. So it's not even, the designation isn't necessarily for what went on inside the building. It's more for what happened on the roof.
So the roof concert happened at their headquarters.
Correct.
And we just had the anniversary of that, 50th anniversary, a couple weeks ago,
January,
right?
January 30th.
Yeah. And Guns N' Roses says they're planning a small tour for the fall. What does that mean?
Well, they had signed on to play the Larger Than Life Festival in Louisville this year. Sorry, Louder Than Life Festival. So their Slash says they're going to build a small tour around it. You know, maybe 3 weeks, a couple dates in front, some dates behind it. He did say that there's talk about a new album. He says, we haven't done anything yet, but everybody keeps talking about it. So, you know, talk about it for a few more years, and then they'll do it. Because that's kind of the way Guns N' Roses rolls. But we'll see. I mean, they're not getting any younger, and certainly the glow of the reunion is ebbing a little bit. You know, and they're back to just being an active band. So you need to do something to juice up the fans, and then a new album would be just the trick.
Can they still fill arenas?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Pretty much. They can't necessarily do the stadiums, but they can do arenas.
If they do that, will they start 3 hours late like they always did before?
They've been better. They've been better on their, you know, since the reunion a couple
yeah.
of summers ago. You know, I think Axel got schooled when he was in AC/DC. When he agreed to sing with them, I think Angus Young looked at him and said, but none of this BS that you do with Guns N' Roses. You're going to live like AC/DC, which
working,
you know,
for us.
Professional band.
Right, you're working for us. You're going to get here on time.
Good for them.
And AC/DC has something going on.
Yeah, well,
to wrap
we've kind of known about this because they were spotted in Vancouver last year. All of them, including Brian Johnson and what's the crazy drummer's name? Phil Rudd. And so Mike Frazier, who's their longtime engineer, did an interview, an Australian radio interview last month, and they kind of asked him what's up, and he did say, you know, he could say we've been in the studio doing something, and he wouldn't discuss what's going to come out of it yet, but it's pretty clear they're doing something. The hot rumor has been this is mostly material that, that the band had been working on even before the last album, and then that the late Malcolm Young had a hand in writing it, so they want to get that out there.
All right, Gary, we're all out of time.
All right, well, listen, I would say I can't say good luck to the Bucks. It'll be interesting to see if we're still playing when we talk next.
Well, fortunately, we're not going to leave it up to luck. We have a really good basketball team.
Yeah, you do.
Thanks, Gary.
Talk to you next week, Gary.
Bye-bye.